Hello, welcome to the Dub D-Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by two of the members of the Dub Instagram team and the Royal Court Review, Jen Bachman and Cindy Ellicott. Good afternoon, ladies. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, Chris.
Good afternoon.
Did I use the word plural as in us, or is it just thank you for joining me at this point? I guess maybe I...
The Royal Us.
Right, the Royal Us. There we go. We are going to have a fun show today, but we're going to give a little warning. You don't want to listen to this show if you are on an empty stomach, because we're going to be talking about some of our favorite things, which includes Epcot, the World Showcase, and food. So we're going to combine all those things into one really cool show. But before we start, as usual, I love hearing what's good in your life. So let's start off with Jen. Jen, what's good in your life?
Yeah, well, I'm excited to be here with you guys today. I feel highly qualified on this topic, so thank you for having me. You know what? Everything's good right now. We've got summertime and getting to see the kids a little bit more during the day. And just got back from a concert in your neck of the woods in Chicago, Chris. So that was fun. And now looking forward to seeing everyone who's joining us at Family Vacation 2 down in Orlando in July.
What concert, may I ask, were you at?
So it was The Dead and Company, which is, if not all, but a few of the remaining members of the Grateful Dead. And then John Mayer plays with them and some other people as well. So mostly Grateful Dead songs, but they did two nights at Wrigley. And I took my dad with me. So that was his Christmas gift this year. So we flew out. He met me there and we spent two nights listening to good music.
Wow. So you're still coming over a contact buzz from seeing The Dead and Company for two straight days. Is that correct, Jed?
I do probably sound a little hoarse, not because I was personally smoking, but it was very thick with smoke in that area.
Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk that might have been the case? So pretty cool. What were concert t-shirts going for? Because I imagine, you know, tie-dye was everywhere.
Yeah.
What's the one nowadays?
So I don't know what you know about the Dead culture, right? But they have vendors selling usually in a specific area, and they refer to that as Shakedown Street. So I don't know what the prices were there, but the official merch, the t-shirts were $60. And then the sweatshirts were $80 to $100, depending on what style you got.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm just preparing myself because I have a Stevie Nicks concert coming up with Lucille and Jude. And I just want to know what I should allocate for some concert shirts that I'm guessing between $40 and $50 a shirt.
Sound about right? I think that's probably fair. And you know, what's funny for us is like, we think Disney's expensive and then we go do other things in the world. And I'm like, I'm going back to Disney to buy a $30 t-shirt.
I need some affordable Disney stuff.
Right.
Exactly. All right. Cindy, what's good in your life?
Lots of stuff. I'm very fortunate in that I just 2 weekends ago where I was in Calgary and was able to do a 10K for the Calgary Marathon. They were raising funds for the Kirby Center, which is a seniors center, provides support for 55 and older in the city of Calgary. So raised some funds for that, did the 10K, had a great time visiting with my brother for the weekend. And I got another trip coming up with Britt next week to Edmonton for a few days, and then it'll be family vacation before I even turn around with the July 7th. We leave for Orlando.
Wow. You are truly an alpha, you know, as far as, and I know you can't see this if you're listening today, Cindy looks phenomenal. She has, how much weight have you lost, Cindy? What is the total weight loss?
I am 0.2 below 60 pounds.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. All right. So
very happy with that.
Heck yeah. You look great. So you've heard Jen and Cindy talk about this family vacation, and it's what we lovingly have adopted as a term for when the Edcot community goes on vacation. And it started off with maybe a few families and then it snowballed and a few years ago. And before you know it, we had 70 people, and there's a cruise next year that has 50 to 60 people. And it's what we kind of adopt for the vacation. So if you're listening and you're not part of the Edcot community, please join us. Learn all about it. Everyone that's there is there with the same intent. We're going to go down. We're going to have fun. families together, kids, adults. It's really a good time. It's low drama. It's all about fun and gathering together with the community. So if you ever hear that term, that's what we refer to that. Before we start the show, though, part of the fun of having the podcast is before you start recording, or even afterwards when we signed off, we go through some stuff and we just talk about personal details in our life. And I had a conversation with Cindy that literally my brain exploded. I never thought of it this way. And I wanted to bring it up and I got Cindy's permission. Cindy's a Canadian. So she's covered by the Canadian healthcare system. So anywhere you travel in Canada, if Cindy were to have a slip and fall or something along those lines, it's covered. But what happens when she comes to America and she comes to Florida specifically for a vacation? I guess they never really thought about that. And in the conversation, Cindy, what do you do as a Canadian when you travel stateside and you go to Florida? What's the process for that?
So I'm fortunate enough to have basic coverage through my work benefits and insurance package that covers, you know, if I get sick, I have to see a doctor, if I have a slip and fall or something like that. But it wouldn't cover beyond, I think, 500,000. So if you had a heart attack or you had a serious accident or ended up having to be airlifted back to Canada or something like that, that wouldn't be covered. So I purchased additional medical insurance. And I think we were just talking about it. It works out to about $25 to $30 a day for medical insurance to have that coverage for when I'm in the U.S. so that I can relax and have fun and not be worrying every time I have a, you know, pain in my shoulder, am I having a heart attack or something like that? Because of course your mind would go to the worst thing, right?
Of course. So here we are stateside. We sometimes see these travel specials released to Canadians or people from the United Kingdom, and we're like, oh my gosh, look at that great deal. And you don't quite fully understand the additional, you know, the ancillary charges behind the scenes there. Things like that. Oh, if you got a family of five and your work's not covering you, you better pay for insurance for that family of five. So I know that ticket price seems really low and that hotel deal with free dining seems really affordable, but then you start stacking those charges. So I had no idea. So for a family, or I guess let's even say you, 7 days, $30 a day, you got an extra $200, $250 out of your pocket just to cover insurance you probably never going to use. But good heavens, if you don't have it, I mean, you need it, especially, I'll be honest, Cindy, I remember you took a slip and fall over at Epcot one time, correct? You were walking around with the boot and bam, went down. You had insurance, but if you didn't, if that was a broken ankle. So all of a sudden, everyone's in the audience like, I never thought of that. There you go. So we got you up to speed. All right. Ready for our show? You guys ready to talk about food and all this good stuff?
Yeah, I'm hungry. So let's do it.
I'm working on a cup of coffee here. My mug from the France Pavilion. So we wanted to go and talk about some of the options they have at World Showcase. So what we did is we divided up the World Showcase. Jen's got four countries. Cindy's got four countries. I've got three countries. And what we wanted to do was look at the amazing menus in all these countries and figure out what, there was no dollar value, what one drink, snack, entree, and dessert we would get from each of these countries as we just stroll and eat through the World Showcase. We were speculating I'm going to do a draft, and all of a sudden we just got countries just kind of put in our lap. So which countries do you have, Jen? What are you going to be snacking around?
So I have France, Italy, Japan, and I have Germany as well.
Okay. Have you eaten or had a drink in every one of these countries, or are you just looking at the menus?
I have definitely had a drink in all of those countries. I have eaten something, multiple things really, in all of those countries. But I'll be honest, when I got to the entrees for Germany in particular, I've eaten at Beer Garden and it's a buffet. So it's kind of hard to, because like the easy answer is just everything you get with your buffet. But I did narrow it down. Okay. And in Japan, I've not really had a ton of entrees in.
Okay. Cindy, how about you? Same question. Have you had something to eat or drink in all the countries you have?
So I have Norway, Mexico, the United Kingdom, and Canada. Okay. And I have not eaten at all of them, other than at the festival booths, but I have not eaten at the restaurants associated with those pavilions. I have eaten at the UK, obviously. I've eaten at Mexico. I've not had other, I've had from the bakery in Norway, but yeah, it's, I looked at the menu and kind of went with, you know, the most expensive thing on the menu. No.
So I use a little strategy. And when we were talking about countries, the ones that were left were the ones that I did. So that's Morocco, that's China, and that's the United States. But I use a little strategy there because two of those three countries are very vegetarian friendly, or at least you'd say pescatarian friendly. And so I've eaten plenty in Morocco and I've eaten plenty in China. But as far as United States, I mean, with the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, yeah, that's not my strong suit. But I did try and put myself in that position as if I was a carnivore, what would I be eating at the Regal Eagle Smokehouse? And I think I've got a really good option here. So I will say, I forgot how much fun it is just to go and pull up that map on your My Disney Experience, pull up a country, and just look at that menu. And it just immediately brings you back. It's like a miniature vacation. It's so cool for 30 seconds as you're looking at the, like for me, it was like the Lotus House, the outdoor kitchen. I was like, dang. That sounds really good today. And all of a sudden, I had taste for Chinese food. It's just a really cool thing. So if you're ever bored, you got 5 minutes at work, you're looking for something to do, fire up that My Disney Experience map and pull up a country or pull up a restaurant and just browse that menu. It's always updated. It's really cool. So that being said, before we start, before we even talk about food item one, if you want to know an opinion, ask the question in any Disney group, hey, give me your top three World Showcase countries. And it's, you know, it's one of the questions we may ask in EDCOT. And all of a sudden, you know, posts get 20 comments, 30 comments, or like 80 comments. And that's like one of the ones that explodes. So before we start, Jen, give me your top three World Showcase countries.
I struggled with this because I have like a top five. I think I wound up committing to France.
Okay.
Morocco. I definitely think Morocco is the most beautiful pavilion there is.
Okay.
And oh gosh, who else did I go with?
That's okay. You can just ad lib right now. Pick one right now. What besides France and Morocco?
I think I probably went with Japan.
Okay. So you like them close in proximity?
Not necessarily. I mean, that's not my strategy. I like Japan's got beautiful gardens. You can usually get some shade and take a nice break in. Mm-hmm. And I love going in that department store and buying all kinds of stuff I don't need. So,
of course. Absolutely. All right, Cindy, name me your top three.
So I went with France, Norway, and Germany.
Okay.
Germany, the entertainment that they have at the beer garden and the just the beautiful facade on the buildings, the, you know, where it is, looks just like a German village. And they've got the little German train track that runs around and all that stuff. I quite enjoy Germany. And of course, they have the bakery there. So you can't be hurt with that. Norway, simply because of the bakery. I went with Norway, but I like the Frozen ride as well. Mm-hmm. And when we did the behind the scenes tour of the World Showcase, Destinations, I think it's called, Norway was really quite impressive. The museum that they have there and all of the sculptures and the history behind why the choices were made for what was put there. I really, really enjoyed Norway. So that was the one reason I went with that. And then France, I just love the whole atmosphere and vibe of the France Pavilion. The fact that it has the Ratatouille ride, but it's got the Léal Bakery, and it's got a lovely little French fashion store and stuff like that that are nice to browse through. And the fountain out front, and always has good food at the festivals. So France was high on my list as well.
God love you for trying to pronounce it the correct way too. I am like a bull in a china shop. It's Les Halls. I mean, that's I mean,
this is going to be the show where everyone realizes, if they've not already realized, that I'm an idiot when I start saying some of these things. Like, I wrote down phonetic spelling, but it's terrible.
All right,
well, I won't be any good with any other language, but Canada is. We do have two actual languages. We are Canadian and English. French. Sorry, we are French and English. So French is an official language in Canada, and we learn it right from kindergarten through grade 12. We take French. So I can do okay with the French ones, but I'm not great with the other ones.
Cindy, I struggle with English. Are you kidding me at this point? I mean, all right, let's throw some shade at somebody. Let's make some enemies, because we are listened to in 50, 70 countries. We have, what's your least favorite country? Let's upset somebody. Let's talk about this. What's the country that you're passing?
Let's position it as, what pavilion are you most likely to skip if you don't have time for them all? That'll be the way we say it today.
Yeah. That's very correct of you. Okay. All right. So let's do that. Let's pick the one that you're going to most likely skip if you're pressed for time. Jen, what are you skipping?
America. Unless I'm going to a show at Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. America has fantastic bathrooms. If you need a restroom, they're clean and plentiful. But other than that, there's not a ton for me that I necessarily need to see in that pavilion. And you talked a little bit about the barbecue place. I live in one of the barbecue capitals of the world. So I definitely am going to Orlando to get theme park barbecue.
So the Voices of Liberty, the rotating displays inside, the hallway of flags, the amazing, none of that makes you motivated?
No, I just don't need to see it all the time.
Dang. Cindy, what about you?
So this is a total flip-flop from pre-COVID. Morocco would have been one of my favorite three, and now Morocco would be one that I would skip because they don't have the entertainment anymore. Jasmine and Aladdin aren't there. They don't have the shops open, and they don't have the I'm not going to remember. The restaurant there is closed still. Has not reopened. Yeah, Marrakesh. So I would probably skip Morocco when there's a festival on, and Tangier Cafe has amazing food. I would not skip it. But for the most part, Morocco would be the one I probably would miss right now.
Cindy, I have a little bit of good news for you. So I've not seen I've not seen Aladdin there, but Jasmine has been back. Marrakesh is still closed. But the last time we were there, they had more entertainment. So they had musicians with a belly dancer. It was, instead of being back in, it used to be in Marrakesh, it was up towards the front of the pavilion, and you can see it when just passing by. But I think they're gradually building up. I don't know why they haven't opened Marrakesh yet. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. So we'll have to hit it in July.
I do recall the same thing, though. They brought all the goods out towards the front, and they used to be tucked in the back in the streets where you have to wander to find some of those souvenirs. And I recall that same thing, Cindy. So,
yeah.
All right. You guys ready now to throw some drinks, snacks, entrees, and desserts at people?
Oh, wait a minute, Chris. You're not getting away without making an enemy here.
Oh, I'll make an enemy gladly. You know where I'm skipping? I'm skipping Italy. Okay. And I'll tell you why I'm skipping Italy. Because if you don't attend the street entertainment in Italy, I mean, at this point, it's largely stuff that you can buy elsewhere. The exterior view from the World Showcase Lagoon on, it's nice, with as far as the gondolas and whatnot, but there's nothing to do. There's no attraction. There's no draw. I mean, I love pizza like everybody else, but it's a pass by. It's a walkthrough, for me. So yeah.
Have you seen Sergio the Juggler? You talked about the entertainment. Have you seen his act?
I have seen the act. Correct. But I mean, if you miss it, if you miss it, it's like, okay, where am I going to go? I know that for a while, Canada was getting some shade in that post, but I've always found the Canadian pavilion to be just charming. It's not pretentious. That was always the draw. The Martin Short movie is always one of my favorites, as goofy as it sounds. I listen to it sometimes just in the car. I'll press play and turn the phone down and just listen to it. But the reproduction of the Bouchard Gardens outside, I think it's always been unpretentious and pretty, without having this, and the buildings and whatnot, having one of the nicest restaurants at Epcot. It's always just been charming to me, So
I think Canada probably struggles from placement because you're either on your way, unless you're just truly browsing, you're on your way to like a show or a ride, and it's right there. So you walk by it if you go to the right. But if you go the right way and you go to the left, then it's at the end. And by the end, you're like, oh, I just want to go get on the bus and go home.
Okay. Okay. I can see that. All right. You guys ready now? Ready to put some food out there?
Ready.
All right. Let's start off then at Mexico. That's you, Cindy, correct?
Yep.
Hit us. All right.
All right. So for my drink, I am actually splurging and I'm doing the La Cava experience. That's the tequila testing where they give you all the different tequilas that are exclusive to the Mexican pavilion that are made just and distilled just for them. It does cost $180 per person. It lasts 3 hours. But that's going to be my drink for the Mexico Pavilion. I'm going to taste test a bunch of tequilas.
That's a short evening. Keep all your clothes on, woman. What are you doing already? First place.
So, Cindy, are you able to drink tequila for 3 hours? Because I certainly am not.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The rest of this show is just a blur. I don't know what I ate. I don't know. I found it. All right.
It's Sunday. Okay. How many hours is... Oh, yeah. No.
Okay. Give me a snack after that. What are you snacking on? Salsa and chips? I mean, what are we eating at this point?
Yeah, I'm having the nachos at La Cava with the white queso on them. That's going to be my snack there. It's quick and easy. It's like quick service, and usually it's quiet in there. There's not too many people. It's kind of cool, so you can get a nice break there, and the nachos are excellent. White queso.
Entree,
I am going to the San Angel
Inn?
The restaurant.
Okay.
In the pavilion. And I will be having the Camarones a la Diabla, which are shrimp of the devil. So they're
3 hour tequila and shrimp of the devil. Holy mother of pearl. This keep going.
That's okay. I'll smooth it out later. But so that's cojillo, pepper, and garlic sautéed shrimp served top poblano rice served with roasted cauliflower. That sounded really good to me. So, and I love shrimp. Just that had shrimp tacos really for lunch.
Yeah, exactly. And potentially, I would say the best, I would say, theme or ambience of any restaurant at World Showcase is the one featured inside the Mexico Pavilion.
Yeah, you get to watch the boats go by and all that good stuff.
All right, let's go with dessert.
I am having the churro sundae from the, Cantina de San Angel. So it's the little quick service cantina there at Mexico. And it's a caramel and vanilla swirl soft serve with caramel sauce, mini churros, and the white and green and red sprinkles for the Mexican flag. And the caramel sauce is warmed up. So goes with the nice warm churros. That will be my dessert.
And we are going to bring the Pepto and Alka-Seltzer for you. So no stress there. But you did say something that caught my ear. And I was going to make sure I brought it up because it's on my list. When you see the word C-A-R-A-M-E-L, is it caramel or is it caramel? How do you say it? Okay, how do you say it, Jen?
I feel like I probably go back and forth. But if you were just to ask me, I'd probably say caramel.
You know what? I like to correct my family and be like, it's clearly caramel. And then I even go back and forth and I say the word caramel many times. So that's the question. If you're sitting in your car today, how do you pronounce that word? Is it caramel or is it caramel? K-A-R-M-E-L. How do you pronounce that word? So interesting. All right. I can't argue with any of those. Those are all amazing options outside of the 3 hour tequila. I mean, that's a mighty, mighty feat and a bold endeavor at the start of your World Showcase walk. I don't know if the drink around the world actually exists. That might be a short walk. It might be a drink around one country and go home, hopefully, you know, safely.
Never question a Canadian's ability to handle liquor.
Sweet mercy, woman. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, we're going to go around. Let's just continue on then. Let's go to Norway next. You got Norway as well too, right, Cindy? All right.
Oh, I do. Yes. So for Norway, I am going for my snack to the Kringla Bakery. And I am getting the Norwegian kringla, which is a pretzel-shaped pastry topped with almonds and chocolate.
Okay.
So I think that sounds really good. And my drink is going to pair very well with that because I am having the frozen Viking coffee, which is Bailey's Irish Cream with Kamora coffee liqueur. And then it has a coffee chocolate sauce over whipped cream garnished with coffee chocolate crunch.
Can I interrupt for a second? I saw many coffee drinks on these menus. When you're in Epcot, is that, I try to put myself there like, okay, I'm there today. Let's have a nice, that sounds heavy. Does a coffee drink sound heavy, like the right mix for Epcot? Or is that like an evening cooler weather type drink? Because I'm just trying to imagine 93 degrees in the heat with a heavy coffee drink. How does that play out?
This one is served frozen.
Okay.
So it is kind of the lighter, just a coffee flavored frozen drink. It does have the whipped cream and sauce on top, but I mean, obviously it's probably as many calories as eating a meal, but it's just like having a coffee.
What'd you say, Jen?
I said calories don't count on this show. We're not talking about them. It's like Bruno.
This is true. That was not part of the objective, right? It didn't matter. It was irrelevant. Okay, go ahead. But what else we got at Norway? What's our entree?
So entree, there's not a lot of choice at Norway. It's all the Princess Storybook Dining. So depending on whether you go breakfast, lunch, or dinner, but I'm going to do breakfast. And so I'm going to get a bunch of breakfast pastries. There's fruit, there's a potato casserole, there's scrambled eggs, bacon, sausage, and Norwegian waffles. And probably some nice photo opportunities with all the princesses. That would be my entree.
And I might have misheard you. Was the almond-shaped, like pretzel-shaped almond pastry, was that your snack or was that your dessert?
That was dessert, snack.
Okay. All right. What is snack now?
Snack is going to be the school bread.
School bread.
So that was my favorite from the Kringler Bakery. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a question on that. I was hoping you would say that. People either seem to love it or hate it. I had it and I was pretty ambivalent towards it. It didn't make or break the vacation, but I didn't hate it as well too. What is it? Is it the coconut? What is the actual like?
I love the coconut cream fill or like custardy coconut filling and then the topping and it's in a donut, which I love donuts. So it's all good for me. I would eat that every day.
Okay. I saw Jen making a face. What is it? Okay, why? What is the reason why? Because I didn't have that either way. It was, I guess maybe that's damning in itself. What's the reason?
Okay, let me tell you first. I had hyped this up in my mind for like 7 years. And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I'm going to get that. And then something would happen and I didn't. And I finally ate it. And I don't know if it was the particular batch I got, but the bread was, I guess I thought it was going to be a little bit sweet and the bread itself is not. And it's incredibly dense. And my like coconut cream to bread ratio was, it was not good. And so it was just for me, this one time, it was like eating a very dry piece of flavorless bread. And then the coconut cream was good, but it was a lot to get through for that coconut taste. So Cindy, you know, if you feel like maybe I got just a bad school bread and I need to give it another go, I'm open to it this summer, but
I feel like you got one that was maybe a little old because they're supposed to be like spongy soft, not dense. And I know it's called bread, but it really is very soft and kind of easy to chew. It's not like you're chewing on a chunk of bread.
Oh no, this was like, I was like Aladdin when he steals the bread in the beginning of the movie and is like gnawing on it. That's what I had.
No, that wasn't my experience. And I've had it, I live in a Norwegian community. So I've had it actually made here at events and stuff like that. And it's always just a soft, just like a little bit denser than a donut, but not very much. And then it's filled with the custard and coconut custard. And then it's got the custard cream on top.
All right. If you remind me to get that coffee drink, that sounded fabulous. I will get the.
Yeah, it's really good. I get that every time we go there.
I feel like you girls have described me. You expect it to be sweet, but it's really not. Very dense and kind of spongy. So I feel like you've kind of described me.
Kind of flavorless. Like, I don't know.
Right? repetitive,
old, stale, dated,
right? A little old.
Hard to chew.
Is that me? Holy cow. All right. I'm going to take over and take you to China at this point. So I've eaten at Nine Dragons many times, right? This is the place where I always seem to end up at the World Showcase, but it's never failed to be like a great meal. And I was just there recently with the Fairy Always and we had a great time. So here's one thing I know about China and Chinese restaurants in general and Chinese stores is their dessert offerings are potentially the weakest of all the countries. They don't have a lot of dessert options. So we're going to start there. They had a dessert. It was a caramel ginger ice cream. The other option was like a strawberry red bean ice cream. And that's it. Those are our options for China as far as dessert goes. But the caramel ginger ice cream does sound interesting. It sounds like it could be the right mixture of like heavy, but like lighter with the ginger flavor on there. So we're just going to go with that. We are going to go to the Joy of Tea for my drink. So let me describe something that sounds like it'd be really good as you're walking around on a hot day of the World Showcase. I'm going to get the honey hibiscus hard iced tea. All right. So it's organic tea, light rum, honey, and blueberry boba inside the tea. To me, on a hot day, that sounds really good. I don't know. They had some heavier ones. Like they have the Tipsy Ducks in Love. And I swear that's a drink, not a movie. They have the Tipsy Ducks in Love. All right. Let me describe it to you. Bourbon, black tea, coffee, cream, and chocolate. Sounds all good individually. I don't know how it's going to sound on a hot day as you're walking around the World Showcase.
Actually tried it. It's really good.
We'll figure. There we go. Here we go. Describe the Tipsy Ducks in Love. You tried that one, Cindy? It was really good.
We have, yes. We got it. Brittany didn't like it at all, but she doesn't like coffee. Okay. I thought it was really good. It was a perfect meld of the.
Was it heavy?
Of the bourbon. No. And it's a small drink. It's not like a big, tall. It's a little small cup. So it was really good.
Okay. See, I'm from the United States. Whenever I see a drink, I'm imagining like the big bubble keg full of drink. And I was like, that sounds like a lot to go through. All right. So you mentioned Flower and Garden earlier and, you know, Food and Wine's coming up in a little bit. So I found that many of the items, actually, I was most interested were on the Flower and Garden food offering special. So I guess I'm going to cheat in that sense where I'm going to pull some of these from the Flower and Garden Festival. But my snack is going to be, let me see here. It's at the Lotus House Outdoor Kitchen, but it was a Flower and Garden Festival food offering. It's not a shocker. It's the house-made cheesy crab wonton, which is, I'm imagining like a crab rangoon, which is always one of my favorites. So we're going to go with that. And then the entree is going to be the Kung Pao Duo, which is like Kung Pao shrimp and chicken. But just based on my diet, I'm going to withhold the chicken and they will double up the shrimp for you. So I don't know if you guys are big with spicy food, but we do have Chinese somewhat regularly here with my family. But at Epcot, they make a fantastic Kung Pao. So it's really spicy. You can tell them as spicy as you want and they'll try and soup it up or whatnot. And it was a full serving. Realistically, I mean, it's probably more expensive than where you're going to have. It was $28, but you take your DVC discount. It's not all that much more than you would spend here for a full plate of Kung Pao shrimp. So that's at least my experience with them. I was disappointed not to see more of a dessert entree, but hey, our dessert offering, but you get what you get, you know, as far as China. Okay. Who's next? Jen, are you next?
Yeah, I'm next to Germany.
Hit us up with it.
Oh, here we go with the pronunciations, guys.
Okay.
All right. So it was funny when you asked Cindy, like, did she mean something for dessert or a snack? Because as I was making this list, I realized that all my snacks are pretty much desserts. And that explains a lot in my life. So I will use the two interchangeably. So let's do drink first. So I am not a huge beer drinker, but I definitely drink beer while in the Germany pavilion. And my favorite there is the Schafferhofer pink grapefruit Hefeweizen. So if you are not heavy on or not a big beer drinker, it's a lighter taste. It's because it's got that grapefruit. It's a little more refreshing, I feel like. So that's what I went with there. And you can get that pretty much anywhere in that pavilion. Or a snack. There is pretzel bread pudding at Summerfest. I was going to say the pretzel because it's, if you get the pretzel in Germany, it's better than the standard theme park pretzel. You'll pay more. It's like double the size of your head. You can feed a family of four off the pretzel. But then they take that pretzel and they put it into a bread pudding. So that sounds like a pretty good snack to me.
Wow. Do you have the menu in front of you? So is it served with the caramel sauce and everything? I mean, is that literally the dough is pretzel bread?
The dough is pretzel bread. Yeah. And it doesn't get into a ton of detail on the menu.
Have you tried it, Jen?
I have tried it before. I remember thinking, this is really good. And I should eat this again. But if you've not been to Summerfest, you have to basically go like you're going to Beer Garden. And it's tucked like in the dark in a corner. And so it's not something I ever think about going to. So I remember it being really good. But it's not something until I was scrolling through the menu, I was like, that's it. That's my snack.
Jen, when we were down there in November.
I'm sorry, Cindy. Is it salty, Jen, as well?
No, I think it's pretty well. I think it's on the sweeter side. I mean, it's that. It, obviously, there's some salt in pretzels, but it's not really. It's definitely sweeter.
Wow. Cindy, you were saying.
I was just going to say, when we were down there in November with Callahan's and Jeremy and Ev, Cassandra went and got some for the group and brought it back, and it was very popular. It was quite delicious, and it is like a bit of a salted caramel. It's very sweet, but it does have a little bit of a salted caramel to it, and a custard, a little bit of a custard underneath it. So it's really good.
Good time.
Okay, entree. What do you got?
So entree, I teased this a little bit already, but. So Beer Garden is where I like to eat in Germany, and it's actually one of our favorite restaurants in the World Showcase. And it's probably not a great place to eat if you're a vegetarian.
Never been. I want to so bad. I just can't afford the money.
I was in line once behind a vegan there once, and I'm like, oh, sister, you're in the wrong place.
Expensive sauerkraut, sweetheart.
Yeah, I was like, this is not for you. but I did pick... I'm not going to say this is 100% vegetarian. There's not meat in it, but not meat that I'm aware of. They may have a broth or something, but they have a dish there called Nudelgratin, which is, I would describe as a German macaroni and cheese, and it is very delicious. It's very heavy. It's not something I eat in July and then walk around the park after, but it's really good. And you can get that in Beer Garden. And sometimes you can get it in Summerfest, but it's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm. In Mickey Mouse, I trust there will soon be a Beyond Beef kielbasa or bratwurst on that menu. So we're slowly taking over the world just quietly. No one knows about it. We're slowly infiltrating all these places with our vegetarian products. So I'm just
there
gonna,
you go.
Right? Okay.
So for our dessert, speaking of the Callahan's, Cassandra turned me on to this one. And she billed it as better than the Wookiee cookie. So if you guys don't know, Wookiee cookies in Hollywood Studios, but add caramel, however you want to say it, kusha, which I have spent years severely mispronouncing the name of this shop. But they have a caramel apple oatmeal cookie. And it is every bit delicious as Cassandra described. And it's going to be my dessert there.
Describe that again. It's a caramel, apple oatmeal cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Those sound like they're like fat free, right? Those sound like really healthy for you.
Because
they have apples and oatmeal. It's healthy for
it's
you.
Super
right?
healthy, guys.
That sounds dangerous. That sounds super dangerous. Like really good.
It was really good though.
Okay. You want to take a stroll right over and burn some of those calories off and take us right into Italy at this point?
Sure.
Okay.
So I actually agree with you mostly on the Italy Pavilion, Chris. Like it's good eating, but it's not my favorite place to hang out. Mm-hmm. But what I do love about the Italy Pavilion is there is a wine cellar, which is basically a lounge that's tucked back there. And a lot of people don't realize it's there. So you can usually get a table. It's attached to Tutto Italia. It's called Tutto Gusto. And it's basically the same menu as next door, but I specifically like it from there because I can get a seat and it's nice and air conditioned. But they have essentially it's tagliere, I think is how you pronounce it, but it's essentially a charcuterie board, and definitely for two, or one if you're hungry. I don't really judge, but it's all kinds of Italian meats and cheeses. So it's got prosciutto on it and salametto and gorgonzola, asiago, gorgonzola, artichoke hearts, and olives. So it's a really nice, if you want a snack and you're craving something more savory, it is very good.
This is an amazing stack. I'm thinking something like grab and go as you're walking around. You got a whole charcuterie board sitting right in front
of you. I'm like, just pop in this place. The air conditioning's fantastic. There's a full bar. And, you know, in 20 minutes, you could have a smorgasbord.
Right. It works. Okay. Very good. Very good.
All right. So for a drink there, I am going with, they have frozen sangria. And you can either get red or white. But I am a sangria fan and I like frozen drinks. And you can grab and go with that.
Okay. That does sound delicious.
Would you go red or white?
I'd probably go red.
Okay. Cindy?
I would go red as well, yes, for sangria.
I might do one of both. You guys judge me if I... And yes. Isla still uses a stroller, so I'm doing one in each hand, and then you push the stroller with your forearms.
Okay, I thought you'd be using the drink cup for the one while you're drinking the other and pushing with one hand, no?
No, because you go back and forth.
Okay. Okay. You and Cindy, I see, grew up together, learning the school from how to drink excessive amounts. Very good. Okay.
All right. So for entree, I went over to Via Napoli, and I like their pizza. I know, like, you could get pizza at a lot of places. I prefer their pizza over all other Disney pizza. I'll make that bold statement. Mm-hmm. But I went with a meatless option, Chris, and that is the quattro formaggi. So it's a white pie. So there's no marinara sauce on it. And it's got mozzarella, parmesan, provolone, and fontina cheese on it. And it's delicious.
Mm. I can't argue about pizza in any fashion. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Because the pepperoni there are like little grease cups, and they are. They're like super tiny and they just curl in a specific way that if you're looking for something a little heavier and love pepperoni, I'm not a pepperoni person, but I will eat it there.
So I mostly associate that with like buffalo style pizza is where the pepperoni kind of curls up and becomes a little pocket for the grease. So, okay. Very good. Did you have dessert yet? Did I talk about dessert yet?
No, we didn't have dessert yet.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to the gelato place in Italy, which is actually as you're exiting the country. And they have a lot of good options, but the one I chose, I'm going to butcher this name, but I'm going to try. Affogato al cioccolato. So it's homemade hot chocolate, and then it's poured over vanilla gelato with whipped cream and a pizzelle cookie.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you had to just blindly pick anything from that, would you be disappointed in any of the flavors from the gelato stand?
I don't think so.
Right? I often debate that. Like when I go into a place that serves gelato, be like, I don't care what you give me. They're all going to be good.
Something, right?
Pick something. I don't care. Right? Surprise me. They'll be great.
They do have an option where they pour, I know you're a coffee guy, they pour espresso over the top of the ice cream. So that might be for you too.
Oh man, for my eighth cup of the day, that's all that I need, right? Yeah, as if I'm not wired enough. All right, let me take over for a second here and let me take you to America, okay? And we're going to go through a few different options here. I'm going to cheat. I'm going to cheat off the bat because this is a flower and garden festival food offering. This is a snack. Your pretzel bread pudding sounded amazing. I've not tried this before, but it sounds really good. The Bananas Foster bread pudding is my snack. And that just sounds amazing to me, but it could be really like bread pudding's not going to be heavy in any fashion. Yeah, the bread pudding sounds really heavy to me. I need the light bread pudding. Anyways, Bananas Foster bread pudding is my snack. And that's, where is that served at? Where is that served at? I didn't save the menu, but it's there. Trust me, it's there. We're going to go for our drink. We're going to have, well, I cheated here too. We got two different options. We're going to go to the Regal Eagle. They got a blueberry lemonade with moonshine. And that's actually at the Regal Eagle. But at the Block and Hans, a special shout out to one of my favorite beers, local Florida, Orlando Brew. They've got the Orange Blossom Brewing makes an Orange Blossom Pilsner. And it's a Florida local craft beer. It's in an orange can. If you've never had it before, it's really fantastic. It's vacation in a can. It's really, really good. So you can buy it at Publix or Winn-Dixie when you're down there, but it's one of my favorites. So for my entree, okay, at the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, this is an 18-year veteran from not having any animal products other than fish in 18 years. I decided to go with something called, hang on, I'm going to pull this up. I want to make sure I describe it appropriately for you guys. The loaded burnt end fries. I want to go away from the brisket, but this is what it is. It's seasoned French fries with burnt ends, macaroni and cheese, and beer battered onion rings all together. You know, something light on the calories as you kind of walk around the World Showcase, right?
I was about to ask if it was a snack when you said fries.
No, it's just, you know, sometimes they kind of throw it all together. I mean, I could have went with the brisket sandwich, but as soon as they threw the macaroni and cheese on there, I was like, yeah, that's going to sound really good. It might be a little heartburn by the time you reach France, but it just sounds good to me. Now, dessert. America does dessert one of two ways. Either it's like, hey, we're going to give you a waffle cone, or we give you this funnel cake from Heck, but they have a funnel cake, which is the banana split funnel cake. If you've ever been in a theme park and you've ordered the funnel cake, banana split, or the ice cream funnel cake, it all sounds good in theory until you start dividing it up. And by the end of it, it's just a giant pile of mush. But the banana split funnel cake sounded good. But at Regal Eagle, they also have a s'mores brownie. And that sounded pretty good to me as well, too. Just because I'm thinking about, you know, getting the spoon a little tidier. You know, it might work out better than the giant mess that is the funnel cake, you know, Sunday. So, but there we go. There's America for me. Who's up? Who's next? I think it might be actually you, Jen.
Is it Japan? It's Japan, right?
It is.
All right. So for a drink from Japan, I'm going with the Kirin Frozen. And I always want to say it backwards. But it's Kirin Beer. And I don't know how to explain it really. It's frozen, but it's not like you would think. It's not a slushy. It's like the head on the beer is what's frozen. And okay. It's really refreshing and really light. So I like that. And then I'm not even going to move from the Kabuki Cafe because I'm going to go ahead and get the kakigori there, which is Japanese shaved ice. And I like mine with the sweet milk topping. I think it's like a dollar or so more. Well worth it. And they just pour it over the top and it just makes it even better. So they tend to alternate flavors. I was very big on the blood orange option and now I see it's no longer on the menu. But you can get rainbow. They have cherry, melon, a whole bunch of different things. So for an entree, I'm going to go to the quick service Katsura Grill and Tonkatsu, which is their pork ramen. That's going to be my pick there. I'm going to be really brave and eat quick service pork ramen and not have a bad belly, and it's going to be delicious.
Okay. Okay. And then let's talk about dessert. What do you got?
So I kind of was where you were at with China, but yeah. Japan is better option-wise than China is. But I wound up pulling a dessert from Teppanetto, which is the hibachi restaurant there. And it is mango mousse cake. And so it is like a light sponge cake, and then it has a layer of mango mousse on it. Because I like that like tart curd and mousse that kind of cuts through the thicker cake. I love things like that. Mm-hmm. That is going to be my pick there for dessert.
Mm. Sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we at Morocco at this point? Is that where we're at? I believe so.
I think so.
All right. So for Morocco, as far as my drink goes, we're going to get the frozen mint tea, but it's served with Bombay Sapphire gin. So it just sounded fun and light as you're kind of walking around. I'm always imagining the scenario, the heat of the day. So that's why that one popped up first. As far as the snack, Tangerine Cafe has the hummus trio. And I don't know if you guys are big hummus eaters, but I certainly am. But at Spice Road Table, they also got the non... See, at the Spice Road Table, they have everything that's like an appetizer is also the entree, just in different sizes because they're all small plates. So it was hard to parse out the difference. But we're going to go with the hummus trio. For the entree, I couldn't decide between the spicy shrimp, which is essentially just spicy shrimp with peri-peri sauce. They have essentially what looks like the bread service, but they have non-spreads, including hummus, tremola, marinated olives, and za'atar, which sounds really good. We eat a lot of Middle Eastern food by our house. We have a lot of vegetarian options in Middle Eastern food, so we're not strangers to that. They have a really unique dessert, though, called the Orange Blossom Saffron Cake, and that's at the Tangerine Cafe as well, too. And that sounds really nice and light. It doesn't sound particularly heavy. Some of the desserts you encounter there are pretty heavy, like the bread pudding that I suggested for a snack. This doesn't sound like that. So I would be interested, if you guys are there in July, take a look at that. Snap a picture of that Orange Blossom Saffron Cake. That sounds really good to me.
Chris, we had the hummus trio on our last trip, and my kids think they're like Gordon Ramsay, and they always give food reviews. And Isla, who is, she's almost six, but she was five. She said, I like this. Very hummusy. So very, if you want to know what it's like, it's very hummusy.
Very good. Okay. I guess it's a very resounding positive review for
yes.
It. Very good. Okay. You're next, I think, again, Jen.
I am up with France, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So for the beverage here, I always just called it the Orange Grey Goose Slushy, but that's apparently not the technical name for it. But it has Grand Marnier in it and Orange Grey Goose, orange juice and rum. So it's a very boozy. It comes, it is frozen, and it comes in a plastic martini glass. So you will look fancy drinking it.
Very classy.
Yes, very classy.
Very classy.
this is where, Cindy, you should have just taken France because my French is very poor. So for my snack, it was hard to pick because I like everything in the patisserie, but it's the Pain Lard Fromage. So it's a bacon and cheese roll. And this is also an excellent breakfast. It's not my entree, but if you like just want a quick breakfast, it's like bacon and cheese in a roll. How could you go wrong there? So for an entree, I was thinking about you, Chris, and I went with the French classic ratatouille.
Okay.
And you can get that at Chefs de France. And I've had it. It's really good.
Good. Okay. So hang on. Put a pin in it. Describe that. Tell us what's in that, because people will be like, okay, I know the movie, but like describe what's in ratatouille.
So I describe it as like vegetable lasagna. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's got eggplant in it, and it's got a layer of zucchini, and it's not as light as you would think it was for vegetables. Mm-hmm. It's quite hearty, but it's similar to lasagna, but fresher because it doesn't have pasta. It's got the vegetables in it. Cindy, is that how you would describe it? Or am I missing like some magical culinary word?
No, that's how I would describe it too. That's very much what it's like. It's a lot of vegetables in a, red sauce. Mm-hmm. Not really a sauce, just a little bit of sauce. But the vegetables are all just perfectly to the right, cooked to the right. It's not like they're roasted and to mush in the oven or anything. It's got a chew to it. It's nice and hearty. It's great spice-wise. It's not, it's not anymore probably Italian French spices, but it tastes like Italian spices, like lasagna. So
yeah.
convinced everybody. You don't have to convince anymore. We're good.
And cheese, like the best part. It's got cheese.
Fromage, absolutely.
Fromage.
Okay. And finish us with dessert here.
This is my absolute favorite thing to eat at Disney World is the dessert options at France in the patisserie.
You didn't need to even say France at the patisserie. You just said just the dessert options. And we just said, yeah.
Like this is the anti-China dessert bus.
Okay. Right?
Like they have all the options. But what I love there is the raspberry macaroon. And it's got like a lime mousse, I guess I would call it. It's not really, it's more of a cream. So it's two raspberry cookies. Macaroon cookies, and they're sandwiching fresh raspberries and this lime cream, and so there's just such an awesome mix of flavors. Like it's a little tart, but it's sweet. Oh, it's so good.
Describe the price and the size of that, because I'm thinking if I'm walking World Showcase with my three kids,
yeah,
like that's going to cost me $40 to buy
I mean, you're not totally wrong. I think it's like $8.99 now. It's definitely increased in price. It may be, I don't know, it's maybe $7 or $8. Size wise, it's not the little cookies. I mean, they're I'm trying to think of something comparable. It's not the tiny cookies you're thinking of. It's you could share it if you don't like a lot of food and just want to be mean to yourself. I don't particularly like to share, but you could.
Okay, let's put it in cookie reference. Bigger than a Nilla wafer? Bigger than a Chips Ahoy? Smaller than
bigger than that.
Smaller than a Sausalito?
Yes.
Okay. See, everyone's like, oh yeah, I know those three cookies. Absolutely.
Maybe about the same size.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, maybe about the same size.
Okay. Well, then that's worth $9.
But it's two. And then you get the stuff in the middle. It's excellent. And they give it to you in a way that you can very much walk around and eat it because you can hold it like a sandwich. So it's not a fork and knife situation.
With the inclusion of the Remy attraction, I don't know if anybody could think that France wouldn't be a top three World Showcase country between the food options, between the movie, between the Remy attraction. Yeah, I don't know if anybody could object to that. That would have to be a top three for most everybody. All right, Cindy, I think you got the last two. Bring us home, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're moving on to the UK, where I am going to order for a drink, the Nutty Irishman, going coffee again. Bailey's Irish Cream and Frangelico, which is one of my favorite hazelnut liqueurs. In fresh brewed Joffrey's coffee. And if you ask them, they'll put some whipped cream on top and drizzle a little bit more of the Frangelico on top of that. So that's quite delicious. For my entree, I am going with the bangers and mash, which is the traditional English sausage with colcannon and potatoes, mushroom, onion, and red wine demi sauce. It's really good. Like the sausage is really tasty. It's got a crisp skin on it. So, and then of course the potatoes and mushrooms, onions and all that. It's like a nice light gravy almost on top of it. So that one is really delicious. It's one of my favorites.
And it's fun to say.
Yeah. Bangers and mash. You don't want to hear my English accent. And of course with a qualification, I'm going with the sticky toffee pudding for dessert if they'll add extra custard to it, because they don't put enough custard and hot like caramel sauce on top of it, so they have to add extra custard and extra caramel sauce to make it as good as the one that I make. Then I order it and it's good. For a snack, if I can't sneak over to France and get the baguette with the sweet churned butter and strawberry jam, then I guess I'm going to have to go with the Scotch egg.
I was going to ask, is the Scotch egg still on the menu over there? Okay.
It is, yeah. And it's pretty good. It's a lot of hype for a hard-boiled egg with some sausage. To me, it's not. But it, as a snack, it's pretty hearty. So, and the price is not terrible. So,
okay. Not. Have you guys had, Jen, are you a seafood person, Jen?
No.
Okay. Cindy, have you had the fish and chips over at the UK?
I have. I don't like them.
Oh, see, I wanted to know this because like you would think, okay, they must have really good fish and chips. We eat a lot of like fried fish, baked fish, beer battered. We eat a lot of it. And so I would expect it to be really good. You don't like it. Describe.
Everybody raves about the fish and chips. And I went there specifically for the fish and chips and the sticky toffee pudding one day when I was on a solo trip. And they were both disappointing. I got like one piece of fish was okay cooked wise. The other one was cooked until it was like dry. The fish was dried right out inside. So it didn't even like cut it with fork. You had to use a knife. And there was very thin fish fillets. Like when I make battered fish and chips at home, I use a nice thick fillet. And so you get a nice thick piece of fish inside. These were quite thin. So I was not too impressed with them. I did like the fries that came with and added, you know, the malt vinegar and that kind of whole thing, the whole experience of an English style fish and chippy kind of thing. But I didn't find the fish to taste that great. And again, we're snobs when it comes to fish because we have all the cold water lakes up here. And I mean, ice cold, and the fish is firm when it comes out of an ice cold lake, and you get a nice firm fish and it has more taste to it. And, you know, we went to Mexico and everybody was raving about the seafood and we were like, yeah, no, they don't know what seafood's supposed to taste like. So,
well, they're serving you salt cod. That's battered. It sounds like at this point, right, Cindy? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't so great, but, anyway, I did enjoy, at one point, I can't remember who we were with and they suggested the bangers and mash and it was very good.
Really cool. Can I tell you guys a brief story? When I was in London with Lisa, we were only in London one time on vacation. And I remember they served us potato jackets at, you know, they use pubs and taverns differently. They're the public meeting places. There were literally families hang out. Like in America, you think, oh, they go on to the local bar. You're not going to bring your kids. In London, in England, it's different. It's where they actually have, like, it's a family dining room. That's the experience. I never had potato jackets before. You guys know what a potato jacket is? Jen?
Is that like a potato skin?
Kind of. Big potato, kind of, served with baked beans on top and whatnot. What? You're right. You're like, what? Until you have it, and you're like, this is excellent. This is really good eating. So next time you're there and you're traveling, try it. You won't be disappointed. Okay. Cindy, take us home. Bring us back to Canada, would you?
Okay. As a Canadian, I have to go for steak, so I'm going for the filet mignon. I like a ribeye, but I prefer, at Le Salier, I prefer the filet mignon. It's a AAA Canadian tenderloin, mushroom risotto, asparagus, tomato relish, and truffle butter sauce. So I also enjoy everything that it comes with. And then I'm going to add the enhancement of the loaded boursin mashed potatoes. So it's got the boursin cheese inside the mashed potatoes with the garlic and herbs and stuff like that, which is very delicious. That's going to be my entree.
Wow. I can't argue with that. Even as a vegetarian, I'm like, dang, that sounds
awesome. It's like a radio show where she just talks about food. I would tune into that. Like, I'd work and have it on in the background.
My belly's growling right now, and I'm not even supposed to eat that stuff. Okay. How about a drink? What are we drinking there?
The drink, I'm actually going to go to the popcorn cart and get they have a Belgian style strong beer there. It's La Fin de Mont, and it's excellent. It's really, really good.
Tamara Spidell's favorite beer.
Drink that even at home. It's just a very good beer. Stronger, okay. But I'm not an IPA girl, so it suits me. And then for dessert, I'm going for the warm pecan butter tart from Le Cellier side of butterscotch ripple ice cream with it.
Hang on, wait a minute. Like, put those words together. How could those words possibly end up with something bad? What is that again? Describe that again.
Warm pecan butter tart.
Oh my gosh. Anything with butter and warm and pecan, I'm in. You convinced me. If it was a shoe, I'd eat it. I'd be like, yes, give me that shoe. Okay, very good.
Yeah, and it's that good. If you put it on a shoe, you would eat the shoe.
Okay.
Well, if that's not an endorsement, I don't know what it is. Shoes taste great.
Get out your Buster Brown. Exactly. Okay. And what's left? The dessert at this point?
That was the dessert.
Okay, the snack.
And for the snack, obviously, I'm going for the poutine with the bacon cheddar soup on top of it.
Gotcha. That's a classic. Is it really as like popular in Canada as we would be led to believe? Is it really served everywhere? Because like in America, we think it's served everywhere. It is, yes.
Yeah, like every fast food restaurant, you can upgrade your fries to poutine here in Canada. Like, so I don't care whether you're at Wendy's or KFC or McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. Poutine is always an upgrade option on your fries. And like we have taverns like Leopold's Tavern that poutine is their kind of thing. And they do the big punch bowl poutines for the table. So it's a whole big punch bowl full. And then whatever toppings sometimes it's buffalo chicken on top of it. Sometimes it's pork tri-tip or something like that. And so they just do all different kinds of poutines. And we even have at the Canadian Brew House, they have a apple pie poutine for dessert. So it's like an apple pie. It's like apple pie crusted with apple pie in the center. And then it's that looks like big fries. And then it's deep fried with cinnamon on top of it and whipped cream on top of it and caramel sauce.
Whoa.
Cindy, I'm currently calculating how long it would take me to drive from Nashville to really any place in Canada where I could eat these things.
And where's the nearest AED machine? But it's worth it. It might be worth it. Right?
Okay. Poutine is huge in Canada. Everywhere you go, there's going to be poutine. I mean, you go to a farmer's luncheon, potluck thing or whatever, somebody's got the fryer going and making poutine.
Okay.
And we do it all different ways. Like, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to have the cheese curds, the squeaky cheese or anything. Like, you can put matzo cheese on top of it. The one restaurant I worked at, they used to serve it and it was the steak fries, and they would put tomato meat sauce, like from lasagna, on top of it, and then put mozzarella cheese and Parmesan on cheese on top of that. And then that was one of the poutines they sold. There's another one that does the French fries with chopped fresh vegetables, like the Mexican chopped fresh tomatoes and peppers and onions and stuff like that. And they put that on top of it. And then they drizzle it with like a salsa. And that's the version of poutine. So basically, if you start with fries of any kind and put stuff on top of it, then it's poutine.
So anything goes.
Have you been to the poutine place at Disney Springs?
I have.
Is it legit or it's not legit for you?
It's not legit.
Oh, I think it's so good. So, okay, I'm definitely just going to have to come to Canada.
Beatrice enjoyed it too, but we don't have any other perspective, right? Our perspective is framed by what we're offered. So
it's possible that the time I got it was just an off time, but their gravy was not the right gravy and their fries were not cooked crispy enough. They were left kind of, so they got really soggy with the gravy.
Okay.
Well, I want to value your guys' time for today. And what I want to do is when we release the show, we're going to put it out there. We'll put it on the Dubs page and put it on EdCot and pick a country. It could be any one of the countries and go through the same process. We want to know what your snack is, what your drink is, what your entree is, and what your dessert is, and share with us. I bet you when we put the show out there, we're going to get 100 different things that we didn't think about and think, oh, yeah, that's right. That is really good. So share with us. So this has been fun. In my mind's eye, when the time comes where I'm at least a part-time Florida resident, this is the version of Walt Disney World that I always imagined me and Lisa taking on a Friday night, the stroll around World Showcase, eating something. This is literally the version of like my life that I imagined was what we described today. So hopefully at some point I'll be able to take advantage of that and actually pick these things and try a new one every other day, every other, whatever the case may be. So
that's all right. For me too, actually, after listening to your show with Rick Forbes a couple of weeks ago, and you mentioning that idea of Friday afternoon wandering around Epcot, and I'm all of a sudden started looking into who might be hiring in Florida that would sponsor a Canadian and cover their healthcare benefits.
Well, see how that happens. It happens with just a C and then it expands further. Yeah. There we go.
We're just all going to be there.
Right. Well, I think we all know that eventually. We might just deny it, but I think we all know it at some point. So, all right. So For my friends, Cindy and Jen, and for myself, we'd like to thank you for downloading and listening. We hoped we made you hungry. Hopefully you've had a Snickers bar in between here, so you're not so cranky when you go home. But no, seriously, we hope you enjoyed this this gastronomic tour of the World Showcase. So again, for Cindy, for Jen, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.